We are going to start. My name is Rhonda Stoppie, and I am so excited that you're here. I'm the author of the book Moms Raising Sons to Be Men by Harvest House through Harvest House Publishers. The book has been amazing to what the Lord has done through this book. It's going into its third printing since it was published in March 2013. I am not a writer. I am a speaker. I would rather sit down and have coffee with you and talk to you about raising your son all day long. But God had other plans, and I have been amazed. The book was selling 1,000 copies a month, and the number one place it's selling is in secular places, Walmart, grocery stores, airports. I'm in awe. So I'm getting to mentor a lot of moms through its pages. It's written the way I talk, which is very familiar. In fact, my poor editor at Harvest House is like, too familiar. I'm like, but it's me. I'm just on a, moms aren't, a lot of times they'll say, I'm not a reader. And I say, yes, you are. You read Facebook all day long. It's just that maybe you don't want to crack a book. So I wrote this for those women that are busy. When I was a mom, I knew I wasn't the mom I wanted to be. And I bought books to try to be a better mom. And I made lists about how to be a better mom, and the list made me feel guilty because it didn't change me at all, or the books got dust on them and I didn't read them. And so I wanted to write a book for moms that would want to hang out with me, that would want to read through the pages of the book. And I wrote it in tiny little bites through the chapters, so you don't have to feel guilty if you can't read a whole chapter. How many of you saw Bob Smiley last night? Did anybody? So funny. He and I spoke at Spirit West Coast together, and I had given him a copy of the book, and he came in last night, and he's like, my wife loved your book. And I'm like, really? That's great. He goes, she doesn't read. You're the fourth book she's ever read in her whole life, so you're like one-fourth of her reading library. I'm like, yes, claim to fame. But he said she would just read a small portion before she fell asleep at night, and she could get through a little section. So, you know, how a person reads a book is just 10 minutes a day. Just get in there. And do whatever you can to get some information. So when I was a young mom, I knew that I wasn't the mom that I wanted to be. And I knew that I needed help, but I didn't know where to go for help. And so I cried out to the Lord and said, what do you got for me? And what happened was God raised up godly mentors into my life. I felt so alone. My husband's mom, he was raised by Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver. Anybody know who they are? It's an old black and white show. I was born in the 1900s, so you'll have to excuse me. I'm really old. Yeah. And I didn't have the mentors that I wanted, and I didn't know that that's what I needed. But Titus 2 calls the older women to teach the younger. And so as I cried out to the Lord for help, he sent me some older women in my life. And those women poured into me. And so what I find, I go all over and I teach women at women's events. You can find my website is noregretswoman.com. I help women build no regrets lives and help you guide your sons towards no regret lives. And as I go and speak in different parts of the country, what I always find is women say, there are no mentors. There are no godly mentors that I can find. And so that's why I wrote this book, because you can take it home. You can hang out with me through its pages. And like I say, I'm in awe of what is happening with it. But when I was a young mom, I knew I needed help, and I felt really alone. And I'm going to read you a portion from my book. It says, my home had become a chaotic environment ruled by my emotions. Can I get a witness? Hello. You don't have to raise your hand because your husband might be sitting next to you, and we don't want him to know how crazy it is when he's not there. Because I did not want to disappoint my husband, I didn't let him know how much I was struggling. The day that my daughter said to me, I know you can't wait till we're grown so you can do whatever you want, was the day that I knew I needed some help. My daughter was 4 years old when she said that. And I was so thankful that she was articulate enough to say, hey, mom, this is the impression you're giving me. And I always wanted to be a mom, but I was giving my children the impression that they were an inconvenience to what I was doing. And we need to remember that they're not an inconvenience to our ministry. They are our ministry. But I needed older women to tell me that. And so I felt even more alone. As God sent these mentors into my life, you know, Titus 2 says, older women teach the younger. I found that these women were genuine with me. They were real. They showed me from their struggles and from their victories. And I became really close friends with them. If you're an older woman in here, that's God's mandate on your life, is to put yourself into relationships with younger women. If you're younger, old ladies know stuff. And it's not because we did it perfectly. Sometimes we totally blew it. But let me tell you, I teach way more passionately from the mistakes that I've made than I do from my successes. And so Moms Raising Sons to Be Men has portions from moms in scripture. It talks about moms in history. Adoniram Judson's mother, he was a prodigal. So was St. Augustine. Anybody know he was like a drunkard womanizer before? Talk about how what happened with his mom. There are so many insights that I learned from these women, and that's what I hope to do for you today. We're going to talk about three things. One, you're not alone. Two, you're in good company. And three, you can do this. So when these women, as they invited me into their world and became my friends, and they're still my friends, Gail is 20 years older than me, and you know, when we became fast friends, she poured into me. Gail hadn't done it perfectly. In fact, her 16-year-old daughter got pregnant, and a lot of moms, once we blow it, we say, okay, I'm discounted for the ministry. And Gail understood, I want to teach you what I wish I would have known when my daughter was a young teenage girl. And so through the years, as I spent time with Gail and she poured into my life, years later, Gail called me and said, I just want you to know, I just sent a copy of your book, Moms Raising Sons to Be Men, to my granddaughter who just had a son. Her granddaughter had been walking in rebellion against the Lord. And her granddaughter said, oh, Grandma, this is exactly what I prayed for. I knew I needed to come back to the Lord and be a godly mom, and I didn't know how. See how it works? Titus 2, God says, older women teach the younger. And then in turn, that younger will teach the next generation. I got to teach Gail's granddaughter, and she's going through those pages of that book right now because Gail poured into me. See how it works? That's God's plan. So you're not alone. You're in good company. These women invited me to a Bible study. And what happened in this Bible study, I was like, oh, you don't understand. I just want to help being a good mom. I don't want to study the Bible. I'm really busy for that. But how many of you know that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword? And you know what it does? It reveals the thoughts and intents of your own heart. I used to quote that verse and be like, of your heart. But you know, you cannot even know yourself clearly unless you see yourself through the lens of Scripture. And when we are being washed with the water of the Word, sanctified by truth is what Jesus' prayer for you in John 17. As God is sanctifying us, setting us apart for this ministry of motherhood, He gets to show us, you know, when we get bumped is when we see what's really inside. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know that motherhood bumps you like all the time? And all of a sudden you're like, I'm this selfless, loving, giving, nurturing woman. I can't wait to have kids. And then your four-year-old is like, I know you can't wait till we're grown so you can do whatever you want. And you're like, ah, I'm ugly. I'm selfish. Motherhood is one of the things that God uses to raise up a next generation. But He also uses it to bring us to a place where we are humble vessels that He can use. There's three seats up here if you want to come up. I'm talking really fast because my son Brandon is here today and I want to have a Q&A time at the end. So I'm trying to cram an hour-long message into 30 minutes so you can have a little bit of time to talk to Brandon. So you're not alone because God gave us the Scripture. If you were called to to Africa tomorrow to be a missionary, how would you prepare yourself? You wouldn't just shop for the clothes and, like, you know, figure out the culture. You would study. You would be prepared. You'd be going to a mission field ready, daily, waiting for the Lord to do through whatever He called you to. You'd be humbled and scared of it. But when we have kids, we forget that's the mission field that God has called us to. And He has called moms to impart to their sons what He has planned in the next generation through them. And in my book, I talk a lot about moms in Scripture that you can learn from them. You know, Jochebed, she only had 4 years with that little guy, maybe. I mean, you know, she only got to nurse him. And I'm thinking I'd have nursed him till he was like, you know, seven or however long before I had to leave him. But she had to walk away from him and leave him in the palace of the Pharaoh, being raised by a woman who worships cats. You don't want your kids in public school. Think about what happened when she had to walk away, knowing the Egyptian religion. She had 4 years to impart to her son. And they say 95% of a child's personality and character qualities are formed in those first 4 years. And unfortunately, our culture, you know, we have a baby 6 weeks later, we send it with someone, and off we go back to living our lives. And so those of you that are choosing to spend time in the lives of your kids, you are establishing character qualities in them, just like Jochebed did with Moses. She didn't know she was raising the deliverer of Israel. And you don't know who you're raising, moms. God does. And God handpicked you to be the vessel that He would use to partner with Him to raise up that young man. And you're not alone. God, if He calls you to do something, He also will give you the wisdom and the strength to do it. There's a scripture that says, do not be afraid or dismayed, for I am your God. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will help you. It's my favorite part. God's not going to just throw you to the wolves or say, hey, see how good you can do. If you will ask him to help you, he will make you the mom he intended you to be. And it will come through the resources. One is through the Word of God. He gives us the right motives, because when I am studying the Word, when I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind, I can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, when you're like, I don't know if my kid should go hang out with those 14-year-old boys. I don't know them. If you're walking so near to the Lord and being transformed by truth, the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it abundantly. God can give you the discernment, the wisdom, to even know what it is that your son should or shouldn't be doing throughout the day, or who he should be spending time with. You know, it's an incredible partnership, moms, that we have with the Lord, but we have to do our part. What did Jesus say with the priority of life? That you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your heart is your emotions, your soul is your mind, your thoughts, that's with your mind, and your strength is with what you do. We go like this: I love you, God, here's what I do. And some of us are excellent homeschoolers, and some of us are great moms, but we forget to fall in love with the God that created us and that called us to this ministry of motherhood. You know, my husband was a youth pastor for 18 years, and 75% of teenagers leave the church. The statistic might be higher now. The number one reason they leave is because of hypocrisy in their parents. And if it's not hypocrisy, at the very least, it's just not being passionate Christ followers. If your son sees you falling in love with the lover of your soul, the creator of who you are, he might say, my mom's a little bit crazy, but he's not going to call you a hypocrite. And in 18 years of youth ministry, you give me a kid who's raised by a crack addict, and I can tell that kid Jesus loves you, and he can't believe it. Really? Me? Little old me? But you give me a kid who's been raised in a Christian home by hypocritical parents, and you say Jesus loves you, and he goes, I don't believe it. My parents say that all the time, and they don't live it. You have a huge responsibility, and you only get 18 years with these little men before you send them out into the world. But you're not alone, because God, everybody say, I'm not alone. Say it like you mean it. God gives us his word. God gives us his spirit to lead us as we are being led by him, being washed with truth. And God gives us the Christian community. He gives us each other. There's some things that I'm just going to real quick talk about that's in the book. God's providence is incredible. My husband was a youth pastor, so you meet a lot of prodigal, you know, stories and moms that are burdened for prodigals. There's a story in there about Adoniram Judson. Does anyone know who that is? He was a missionary to India, and he was homeschooled. He was raised by Puritan parents. His dad was a Puritan preacher. He went away to Bible college. There's nothing new under the sun. He went away to college, and he was taught by his professors that there's no God. Wow, really? Back then? Same thing. And he had a